Thank you. Great to be with you all today, and I certainly love this family that you represent, and I always love to be with you, but also being with Robin and Esther, but of course they're not well today. So with you and Luma, thank God for you all. Well, are we well this morning? About three of us are well. It's going to be a bad day. What a lovely testimony that was, wasn't it, just now? And it's great that we can feel part of not just our nuclear family, you know, like the Baker family, but the church family as well. And what a lovely thing that you shared earlier on. In fact, I don't know whether any of you know Pastor Steve Uphall. He is the pastor of All Nations, a big church in Wolverhampton. And his daughter, right now, he's got two daughters, two sons, and his youngest daughter in her early teens is right as we are here together having brain tumor removed. She's having brain surgery. So I wasn't going to do this, but considering we're really raising with our faith today for what God is able to do, would you be willing to pray with me for them, for her name Sophie? Would you stand with me so we can pray together? Father, we thank you for that great testimony we've heard about Albie earlier on. We're believing, Lord, for your best for that little child. And now, Lord, we just pray for Sophie Uphall, this young lady going through surgery right now as we are standing together before you. Thank you, Lord, for doctors and nurses. Thank you for the NHS. But we thank you most of all for the great physician. And we pray now that you will touch her and that she will go through this safely without any complications, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take your seats. You know, here we are at the beginning of a year, and for some reason, Robin invites me around about, I think maybe just a coincidence, but it's usually in the first week of the year. And for some people, the beginning of a new year is just a turning of a calendar. There's nothing important. It's just another date. For other people, it's an opportunity to sort of say, hey, we can recalibrate. It's a new blank piece of paper, and we can begin to. Some people make resolutions. Anybody make resolutions here? Not many of us make them. Perhaps we're too honest about how long we can keep them. But it's a time certainly to say, let's look into the future. And we call that looking into the future vision. And the word vision is used a lot of times in church. Your pastors will talk about vision a lot. But one thing that's important, in fact, there are two things I want to share with you today that are important about vision. We think of vision about the future. So people will even add the phrase, what is your vision for the future? But when the Bible talks about vision, we're going to see this morning, vision is a 360 thing. Vision is not just about what's going to happen in the future, it's what's happened in the past and recognizing what's happening around us as we are. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. In fact, in the number of times I've preached here, I may have said this sentence before, God has only got good plans for you. Now, when you say it to the person next to you, God has only got good plans for you. And it's right now, the devil's got a whole load of different plans and circumstances, but God's word says, all things work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. And I could keep you here all day talking about things in our life, Marilyn, and our life that seem to be catastrophic, but in the end, God worked it out for good. And I want to start by reading from Genesis chapter 13. I think you're going to see it on the screens in a minute anyway, or you can look at it in your Bible if you want. Now, God was giving Abraham a vision for the future. And he was saying, look, I've got this land of blessing and promise that I've got ahead for you, these plans for you. And in fact, in the King James Version, you know, the authorized version of the Bible, it starts by saying, God says to him, lift up your eyes from where you are. In the NIV, it doesn't have that, but it doesn't really matter. The sense of it is the same. Lift up your eyes from where you are. You know, there's a time in our life when it's good, when we're going through tough stuff, and goodness me, there will be those of us who are going through tough stuff at the moment. Jobs, access to healthcare, finances, all of this kind of thing. Sometimes God calls us, and we've already done it for Albin, we've done it for Sophie this morning. We said we're going to lift up our eyes from the circumstances we see to the God who we can't see, who is able to do a miracle in our lives. Amen. And so God says to Abram, Abram, I want you to lift up your eyes. But listen to what he says. He said, Lord said to Abram, look, after Lot had parted from him. Now, that's very important. We're going to look. That's one of the main things about vision you and I need to take on today. After Lot had parted from, he says, look around from where you are. Not just forward. He says, look north, look south to the east and the west. All the land that you will see, I will give to you. This is future and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. See, the first thing I want us to notice about the vision that God's got for you, the good things that God has prepared for us. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man or woman, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. But God has prepared those things for us by his Spirit. But he didn't just say, Abram, I want you to look north to the future. I want you to look back. I want you to look to the north and the south. I want you to look from where you've come from. And before you even begin to move into the good things I've got for you, I want you to look around where you are. We're going to look at the importance of that. But the first thing we'll notice, after Lot had parted from him, there had been a bust up in the family. The first thing we want to know about vision is God doesn't give us a bright vision for the future when things are bright in the present. That when sometimes the greatest moves of God in the people of God in Scripture and in church history, and the greatest moves of God in our individual lives as ordinary Christians, is when we're going through tough times. And the greatest vision that God gave to Abraham, he gave him when he was in the middle of a family crisis. Now, his nephew was Lot. God had prospered them. They were amongst the most wealthy people of those days. Things were going well, but their wealth and prosperity had got a downside. That their sheep, they had loads of sheep, and they were multiplying, and his nephew Lot, his sheep were multiplying, and it was just chaos. It was just chaos. And so the people looking after Abram's sheep were falling out with his nephew's workmen, and then Lot wasn't happy with Abram. So look, Abram said, listen, we don't like family breakup. It's not a good thing. But, you know, what's going to have to happen is we're just going to have to sort this out. I want you to look around and see the land that's best for you. And you just go into it and take your sheep, take all of that. And I'll just go whatever's left. I'll do that. So it was a bad time. God was about to speak positively and faith into a man who was in a crisis. Now, if you're in a crisis today, you say, well, don't talk to me, John, about vision. Don't talk to me about hope. Because if you knew what I was going through right now, in my health, in my family, in my finances, in my worry about my job, this message isn't for me. Here, listen, this is a word from the Lord. If you're going through tough stuff, God is bigger than the problems that we've got and can see us through. And in the middle of that crisis, he says, I've got a vision for you. So he says, look to the future. And he said, I want you to walk into that future. I want you to embrace that, but I want you to look from where you've come. Do you know, there is a powerful thing when we honor yesterday. I went once, when I was doing the role that I had before, a pastor asked me to attend the meeting at his church. It was in the Midlands, actually, and they had got a massive expansion plan. Massive. It's going to cost an absolute fortune. And he said, I'd like you to be there when I share it with the people, the church family. So I was happy to do that. And I thought he was going to start off by saying, you know, God's given me this vision and we've accumulated all this resources to do this and we got blah, blah, blah. And that was how he didn't do that. Do you know what he did? On the PowerPoint, on the screen, he showed the church when it was just a house group. Way back, you know, I don't know, 50 years ago, small group of people were in the town. And then he showed every single pastor and eldership and congregation pictures of them all the way through. And when he'd gone through the whole lot, he said, we wouldn't be where we are today if it hadn't been for people who'd been faithful in the past. Do you know what I said to him afterwards? I said, you know what? It's Leon Evans, actually, in Halesowen. I said, Leon, you've got a great future because a man who can honour yesterday has got a future for that's before him. He honoured the past. You know, we didn't just arrive into church today with the spirituality that we have. There was someone who led us to Christ. There was someone who told us about Jesus. It might have been a family member. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been a pastor. Do you know, I wanted to pause for a moment. I want to say, before we talk about the vision for 2022, before you talk about all the good things that are to take place, let's pause for who are the people who input into your life. When I was preparing this message for you, I obviously began to think about them. Do you know, all the people who input into my life are all in heaven now, because that's something to do with my age. But you perhaps can remember a Sunday school teacher if you went to Sunday school. It might be somebody at school who witnessed to you. Let's just think of them now. I just want you to pause for a moment and think of them. Can you think of those people? People who encourage you along the way. You see, God is a God of the yesterday as well as the tomorrow. And I suggest you to do, people normally come at the end of a message. What I'd like you to do is say, I'm going to email them. I'm going to text them this afternoon. I'm going to say thank you for the encouragement you were to me when I was going through a tough time. How many people here would be willing to do that? There's some of you, good for you. I'm going to say thank you, Lord, for the people who in my yesterdays have made it possible for me to be where I am today. But you see, do you remember the story when God meets with Moses? Now, Moses was in a wilderness. Abraham was in a wilderness relationally, had been. But he was in a wilderness looking after his father-in-law's sheep. He was 80 years of age. It's not an ideal place always in some people's mind to get a vision. You say, vision are for young people. They're for young families. They're for the folk who, you know, have got the life before them. But he's there just in a wilderness. He's there with these sheep. And he sees, you know, in Exodus chapter 3... what he sees is a burning bush. Now, burning bushes in the desert are not uncommon. You know, a bit of combustible, bit of sundown comes down, dry brushwood starts a fire. Not unusual, but what was unusual about this, the bush did not burn out. It continued to burn. It continued to burn. He thought, this is a strange thing. So he goes and he goes towards the bush and he says, burning, full force. And then he realizes that this is not an ordinary bush. God is about to break through and speak to his life. I'm going to say to you this morning, if you're in a wilderness, might not be a relational one that Abram was in, but you're in a wilderness of a different kind. Things are just, you're worried about 2022, because we all know for the whole world it's been a tough time. But in your situation, you're worried about what's going on. Do you know, God wants to draw you aside this morning and speak into your life and say, this might be an ordinary service, but the place where you're actually standing is holy ground. I am going to speak into your life. And God says, right, he speaks to Moses. The voice comes out of the bush and he said, now just stop where you are. Don't come any nearer. You're on holy ground. And you can see it on the text there going through. Let's read it together. He says, don't come any closer. Take the sandals from the place where you're standing is holy. And I am the God. Now look at this. I am the God of your Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. God was going to speak to Moses, give him a challenge, 80 years of age, not an ideal time, somebody might say, physically. He was going to give him a chance to lead 2 million people, around about 2 million people out of slavery. And what God might have done is this. Said, Moses, you just, you know, you've had 80 years. Nothing much has greatly happened in your life. You had a privileged upbringing in a palace. Now you've got all these flocks and it's all, but nothing really strategic has happened. But I want to say, you're a man for the future. You're a man for the coming year. You're the guy. But God didn't do that. He doesn't start with his vision for Moses. He says, I want to tell you who I am. He says, I'm the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. He looks back before he looks forward. Are you following me? He said, if it hadn't been for the faithfulness of these people, you wouldn't be where you are today. Now, I was preparing this when I thought that perhaps Robert and Esther would be here, but I didn't realize they were unwell. And, you know, I thought, well, when I come to this next part in the message, they're going to be embarrassed, but they're not here. But I want to say this. When is the last time, and it might have only been last week, when you email the pastor, you phone them up and said, Pastor, thank you for the input you've been bringing into my life. Guys, all gone awfully quiet here. Gone awfully quiet. Well, listen to what Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 8 says. Remember your leaders. Think about your leaders. You see, I'm going to be talking about encouragement in a minute, encouraging one another, because we all need encouragement from time to time. But you know, when I was a pastor, if I saw somebody down and my wife going home from the morning meeting, like I'll be traveling away after this service later on, we say, did you see Mrs. So-and-so? They looked awfully down today. I wonder if they're okay. And we'd notice people who were down. And so I'd be on the phone. Sometimes I would be on the phone right after the service, in case I forgot it. It might be the next day. And I said, look, great to see you in church yesterday. Are you struggling with some stuff? Because you really look heavy. Now, you do that with your friends. Do you know what? It's not only people who are looking down that we need to encourage. We need to be willing to encourage the encouragers. Because there are people in church who are smiling, their hands are raised, they're worshiping, you know, and you think everything's fine with them. If only had a life like them. But you know, everybody is carrying something in their life. Everybody's carrying something in their life somewhere. And it's just good just to encourage those who are around us as well as those who are there in the past. Remember your leaders. Speak faith into them. Encourage those who are encouraging you, not just those who are down. God might just put someone on their heart. And I was always amazed when I used to read that passage, because it talks about remembering your leaders and submitting to their authority. And then it goes straight into the next verse, which says, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 360 vision again. He's the God of yesterday. He's the God of today, and he's the God of tomorrow. It's the same principle. It's looking back to the faithfulness of God. It's recognizing the faithfulness of God in other people and seeking to encourage them. Look around. Wow. Do you know, there are some of you who are very capable of coming behind a microphone here, thinking of, you know, Luma's leading worship, and the praise band is here, great praise band, and Josh is there, and others have taken part and blessed us. But some of you may feel that, you know, I'd die the death if anybody asked me to speak publicly. I would absolutely be terrified. I don't like the spotlight. I don't like the microphone. But you know what? One of the greatest ministries in the life of the church is the ministry of encouragement. You don't need a platform. You don't need a microphone to do that. My goodness me, we all need it. What does encouragement mean? Well, Mal and I used to live in Scotland, and we used to have some terrible winters in Scotland, believe me. We love the place and we absolutely love the people, but the winters were cruel. I mean, I can remember one year we couldn't get out of the house for 3 days. The doors wouldn't open because it was so high with snow, and it was unbelievable. And one day, it wasn't quite as bad as that, but there was one day when I was still in bed, and I'm an early riser, and there was a knock on our door, freezing winter morning. And it was the man who lived across the road from me. And he says, John, I'm really sorry to bother you at this time of the morning, but I've got a really important trip to make. And I've just tried to start my car, and my battery's completely dead. Completely dead. And I need, you know, I need help. Have you got any jump leads? I said, certainly have. So, you know, get dressed, go out. Freezing. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I've been in Scotland minus 15. It wasn't as bad as that then, but it was pretty cold. And so, I pull my car that's got power in it, alongside his car that hasn't got power in it. And I stretch a connection from where I am, called jump leads, into his battery, and he starts his motor. And because I have power where I am that has now been transferred to where he is, he can now go on his journey. I have put courage in, on courage. I put courage into his situation because I've drawn alongside him and I've spoken, well, I haven't spoken faith. It's just a very, in fact, this week is the first time in 50 years of driving that I had to buy a new battery. But I've just taken something from my battery to his battery to make a difference. You know, that's one of the greatest ministries you can have in 2022. You say, hey, wait, what about my future? What about this great hope I've got for 2022? What about the... Listen, it's yesterday, thanking God for that. And then looking around east and west, who are those people who I can put courage into? Because people in the past have encouraged me. Then God is able to do something amazing there in the here and now. See, things we respect yesterday. We thank God for those who did, who have blessed us and give us input. My goodness me, I lost count of the number of people who helped me along the way. And then we look around. Who can I put courage into? Who can I put courage into? And those things are done in the now. Because God meets with us in the now. All right, 2022, God make it a great year for everybody here. But actually, God meets with us in the now moments. In the now. You know, one of the best prayer meetings I was ever in was not in some massive church or great convention. It was in the local church I pastored in Cheltenham way back, oh, I think it would be 40 years ago. And I just put a new young elder in, sounds a contradiction in terms, but he's a young man, he's one of the, a young elder, he's a young guy, and some people may have thought, well, is he a bit young to be an elder? Well, I didn't. I could see potential in him, great potential. And so I together with my other elders in the church, we'd said, we're going to give Ken an opportunity. Well, one of the things that the elders did in a prayer meeting was that's a normal weekly prayer meeting. What they would do is they would bring a 5-minute word. So it's a little bit like, you know, the good brother shared with us about communion. You brought some great stuff there about the blood and reminded us that. And it was simply, before we start praying for all the things we want God to do in the future, somebody bring us a word from the Psalms. And he's the new elder. And we thought, so I said, Ken, would you bring something for about 5 minutes? Encourage us to start praying. So up he gets. First time speaking out as an elder from the pulpit as an elder. And he said, I've got 5 or 10 minutes, he said, that Pastor's given me. And he said, I've got a little subject for my 10 minutes. It's how to answer your own prayers. I thought, have I made a mistake? Have I made a mistake? And there's people looking around at me saying, you know, how to answer your own prayers. We're in a prayer meeting. And I'd already given the prayer list to people what we should be doing. And I can remember what was on the prayer list. And so he said, I'm just going to say how we can answer our own prayers. Now, I'm going to mention two of the requests that were there. Two of the requests. One of them was, there was a disabled centre outside Cheltenham, still there actually now, called the Star Centre. And a number of people were coming in on a Sunday. You know, we'd bring a minibus in. And we got a couple of minibuses which would bring folk in from the outlying areas. And there were more people coming from the centre that wanted to come than we'd got. And so on the prayer list was, could we pray that the Lord would provide transport for the people who were coming to church on next Sunday? That was on my list. He said, how about if we don't pray? How many people have got cars who pass the Star Centre on the way to church? People raise their hand. How many free seats have you got? How many do we need, Pastor? Well, I think about a dozen. He said, well, two. How many have you got? One, two, three, four. How many is that, Pastor? A dozen. We'll cross that off the prayer list then. That was the first one. So the next one, there was some great big need for medical supplies. I remember it was in Ghana. And what Elim were doing, and you're part of Elim, each church was asked to pray about the situation out in Ghana. And eventually there'd be a pantechnicon going out or a big container of medical supplies and equipment. So we've got on this list now, let's pray for the situation in Ghana, this particular area in Ghana that needed the help. He said, how about if we don't pray? How about if we take up an offering? So the treasurer's eyes lit up, you know. We don't have an offering in the midweek. Out he goes, people start writing checks. Anybody remember checks? Old days, old school. I'm old school. Writing checks, putting money in. And he said, well, that's another thing we don't need to pray for then, because we've done everything we can. Do you know, by the time he finished his five-minute word, we've nothing left to pray for. Because it wasn't something in the future. You see, we think that God's going to meet our needs, supply us, do great things at some day in the future. But how many people, God wants to bless you now. God wants to touch people's lives and heal them now. That's why we stopped to pray earlier on for Sophie, because right now she's having the operation. Right now, God wants... You see, God is the God of the great tomorrow. God is the God of 2022. God is the God of the future. But God is the God of the now. When I finish in a few moments' time, and I'm conscious of time going by, when we do that, I want us to... Things that you have hope for in 2022, I want us to believe, God, could you actually do that in my family now? Could you bring that reconciliation now? Could you begin to work in somebody's life who's away from you that I've been praying for? Lord, can you actually do the miracle now as we pray? And the last thing I want to say about God intervening and giving us a great future is that we tend to believe God is more likely to do things in other people's lives than he is in ours. We sometimes feel in church, oh, well, you know, she is so spiritual. I wish I was as spiritual as her. I bet when she prays, God answers things straight away. It doesn't seem to happen for me. Well, all of us have delays in our praying. Believe me, I want to tell you that. But we always seem to... We always seem to get this idea that we are less than. I remember preaching in the church, in fact, it was in Belfast some years ago, and I was going to preach on faith, and which is not an unusual subject for people to preach on. And I preach in a way, I've gone about 10 minutes into the message, and it's a big church, there was a lot of, it was a convention, and so a lot of people there. And I just found, you know, people agreeing with us in their heads, but they're not taking it into their hearts. See, I said earlier, you know, that God has got good plans for us in this year. God wants to do great things. And some of you will have dismissed that as for somebody else who is more spiritual than you, who is older than you, who's been at Oasis Church longer than you, who's more worthy than you, you've dismissed yourself. And I just got this in my spirit about this situation, and I thought it's purposeless me preaching. I mean, the people were receptive and people saying amen and responding and stuff, but I just said, I'm going to waste my next 30 minutes if I don't do something now. And I waste their time, I'm going to waste my time. And all they will have had is a sermon on faith. So I stopped. And I said, friends, I'm going to stop preaching if you don't mind. And I'm going to ask you a question. What would happen if I said to you, and I said, this didn't happen, but we're imagining it could have happened. On the way to the Ulster Temple in Belfast to preach this message, God had given me a word of knowledge that he said he was going to bless everybody in the meeting tonight except one person. How many of you would have thought that you might be the one person? A third of the congregation raised their hands. They believed that if God was going to bless anybody, it wouldn't be for them. It wouldn't be their time. That God's doing... Do you remember, that time in Acts chapter 2 where it's a day of Pentecost? My goodness me, Pentecostals should be aware of that. Acts 2. And that's the first time people spoke in tongues, wasn't it? And there was a rushing mighty wind. Can anybody tell me what, and a lot of you will know the answer to this, and I don't want any pastors answering. David Woodfield, don't you answer. I know you know all these things. Been friends of mine for a long, long time, David Woodfield. Great blessing. Good friend. How many know what else happened apart from speaking in tongues and a mighty wind? Anything else? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know. Tongues of fire appeared on everybody's head. They were speaking in tongues, but the Bible says there was a rushing mighty wind, and tongues of fire, they appeared on everybody's head. Now, listen, if I was sitting there, I want to imagine now that I'm in with 120 people. I don't know how many is here this morning, but there's 120 people in the upper room, and I'm sitting there. Probably they're all sitting in a circle. They're probably not sitting in lines like we are. And pastors do anything for a sit down. You know, this is an illustration, really. I'm not really having a sit down. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, my goodness me, this is an amazing meeting. Because everybody in the church has got flames of fire on their head, but me. Because I haven't got eyes in the top of my head or in the back of my head. So my conclusion is everybody in the church is getting this manifestation, but me. And everybody in the church is looking at me and thinking, John Glass has got tongues of fire on his head. Why haven't I got it? I'm coming to a close. Might be the first time you might be saying amen. No, I am coming to a close. I'm coming to a close and going back again, sharing some stuff from this morning from times when I was a pastor that have to do with the message. And in this final illustration to say this, I preached one time on a Sunday when I was a pastor in Cheltenham, on we've all got different gifts in our life. And on a Monday, our church would all meet in house groups to discuss how can we put into practice what God did and spoke to us about on Sunday, which is a good thing. How do I put legs in my life on the revelation that I got from the preaching? So I would go through around a different house group every time. I can't be in every house group at the same time. So I'd go one after another. And I went into this particular house group. And I can remember now the leader of it was a man called Howard Padley. He still goes to the Elim Church in Cheltenham. And Howard said, and I'm just a visitor to the house group this time. Howard said, you remember Pastor spoke yesterday about we've all got different gifts and different talents, spoke on the talents. And so how many people would like just to share what their talents are? Not a single person spoke. Because we're English, aren't we? We don't like to say. And then he had a brainwave. He saw this is dying the death, this meeting here, because no one's talking. So he says, he had this brainwave. And he said, how about you look around the people in the house group, which there's not many, a dozen, and say what you see as the gift that God has given them in their life. The whole thing changed. And I'll never forget, because you can hear in the house group, you can hear what everybody's saying to everybody else. And this lady, I think middle-aged lady, that means younger than me, turned to the lady next to her and said, I want to tell you the gift you are in the church. Now, other people could sing, the other people could perhaps preach, I don't know. But she said, you're one of the quietest people in this church. I've never seen you take part on a platform. But you know, if I was going through a problem and I wanted to talk to somebody who would listen to me in confidence and not just say, I'll pray for you, but really pray for me, I'd go to you. This lady started tears coming down her eyes. She had never seen that as a gift, being a trustworthy lady in the church who would generally pray for others. And I've already told you about the most memorable prayer meeting. This is actually the most memorable house group meeting I was ever in. Because people were hearing other people recognizing the gift of God over their life. And do you know what that is? That is recognizing the tongues of fire on another people's head. It's saying, I recognize some. What an encouragement. I tell you, one of the most encouraging meetings in the world. God was able to do that. But I'm drawing to a close. I want to pray with you. I want to pray over you. And you see, what have we said? It's not just about for the future. There's an old saying in north of England where I come from, if you take care of the pennies, the pounds will take care of themselves. And if you take care of honouring the past and encouraging people around you, I'm going to tell you, God will take care of the future. God will deal with your future. If you're honouring others and serving others around you in this coming year, you don't need to worry about the days that lie ahead. I want to pray blessing. Will you stand while I pray blessing over you? Great church. Great to be back together. And I'm not just talking to people here. I'm, of course, talking to people who are listening online. And as we come to this final prayer, I'm including you with the families. The church is full today. A lot of people getting back in. Not everybody's able to because they're not well. Other circumstances. But I want you to be part of what's going to be taking place now. And as Luma begins to play, I want you to open your spirit to God. See, we Pentecostals, we're great transmitters. That means this is what happens. We transmit our testimony. We had that earlier. We transmit our praise. We did that earlier. We transmit preaching. I'm just doing it now. But we're not always brilliant receivers. Other parts of the Christian church are probably better receivers than we are. In quietness, saying, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to receive. And sometimes we show that receiving by raising our hands like this, saying, God, I just want you to pour into my life now. And I want, if you're comfortable with raising your hand, you know, just say, Lord, I want to just, I'm going to pray over your life. I want God to drop things into your spirit. I want God to drop things into your destiny. I want God to drop stuff into your future, into this 2022. And so, Father, I'm praying over these precious people. I'm praying for them at home now, perhaps with their family, or maybe just sitting on a settee on their own with a cup of tea in front of them. Father, whoever we are, wherever we are right now, thank you for the good things you have in store for us in this coming year. And Father, I pray you're just going to drop blessing and promise and revelation. Father, we pray, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'll help us to look back and thank God for yesterday, to honor those who in the past have brought us encouragement. Help us, Lord, to have a generous spirit to encourage those around us, and not just those who are looking down, but help us to encourage the encouragers. And Father, help us to embrace the land that you have prepared for us. So into every heart, into every life, pour your blessing. Pour a sense of hope where there was this prayer. Father, if we're feeling too old for the job, like Moses did, or we're feeling we're in the middle of a turmoil in our own personal life, like Abram did, Father, these do not exclude the chance of you ministering into our life for this coming year. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, God bless you.